Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
This one is good.
Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to have Damo and Nate Brown in. Just looking at a bit of social media before we get it underway. We're talking about the fact that Steve Smith, Nafe, is going to miss this test match, of course, with delayed concussion.
Yep.
Hayden Brown. I think Fats got delayed concussion.
When?
Kicked in when he started his media career and he's never recovered from it.
Oh, good one, Hayden.
And, of course, when we got underway, Rabbits just hit the wrong button.
Fair, so we
basically had a minute and a half of none of the mics working or anyone being able to speak.
Exactly.
And Shawnee Phelan goes, is it really a bad thing Bill's mic isn't working?
Oh, come on, Sean.
I can see delayed concussion for you, though.
Oh, I have. Well, you can get it. Jim doesn't believe that's happened with Steve Smith.
I'm asking Damo this question.
Well, you ask it.
Damo. If Steve Smith was concussed, how the hell did he go back out and bat again?
That is the biggest question I had out of that test match, because it's world's best practice, that's medical it. Practice, and they allowed him to go back on, whereas exposed to the same bowling the same type of danger, and then now he's not able to play in the next test. I don't get it. Five days after that happened.
As well advanced as AFL, though, because they don't get as concussed as often. I mean, there's a concussion every round, probably two or three concussions. But you don't see it too many. Cricketers being concussed, Damo.
Not as many, more than there used to be, but not as many. It's delayed.
So he passes the test.
Yeah.
He goes back out. Then that night it's delayed. That happens to footballers.
But it was probably also the same symptoms he showed when they ruled him out of the test were probably being seen if they wanted to find them, not in the heat of battle when they need to get their best batsman back out there.
The concussion had well and truly kicked in when he left that ball on middle stump.
And then went upstairs with it.
Yeah. Yes. He was already walking off.
He was off.
And he called it anyway. Oh.
But while that is a humorous component to it. Back to Jim's point, I had a real issue with it.
If an AFL club put a player back out on the field after something like that, and then it was found that he was ruled out of the next game with concussion, there would be serious questions asked.
There'd be questions asked, yeah. And you only need to go back 4 or 5 years when they would have put them back out there, and at that point in time they were telling us it was world's best practice. We have at least got it to a point now where caution is being the default position on these matters, but cricket just seemed to take a whole new ball game into it. With the Smith adjudication.
Huge day yesterday, Nafe, at the Fremantle Football Club. CEO and coach gone.
It was. And I've never seen a club handle it as well as what they did. I thought they were efficient. They came in, they were bold about what they wanted to do. They'd clearly planned it out for the last couple of weeks. And there was no mucking around. There was no lying. There was no hiding behind anything. It was just, this is a decision we made. And it was great to hear just pure honesty.
Yeah.
And when Ross Lyon walks away, I reckon he's a happy man to go, yep, they're honest with me. They're honest with their fans. Honest with the football world, and here we are. We move on quick.
I reckon it's a win-win, but why wouldn't it be one more week after the last game?
Well, I reckon they want to start list management for next year, and if Ross Lyon's not going to be a part of that, they need somebody who is going to help them be a part of that, because massive decisions. There's so many players that are potentially wanting out. Adam Chera, you've got Ed Langdon, you've got all sorts of players who might be leaving this footy club on the back of Lachie Neale leaving last year, so they need to tighten the screws.
Was it getting out, Damo? Is that why they brought it forward?
No, I think, to Brownie's point, they did it really well, didn't they? They made the decision on the Sunday, we learned after the event, which was the day after the loss to Essendon, and that loss effectively meant they couldn't make finals. And then we heard Dale Alcock, to Brownie's point, explain really clearly yesterday, in keeping with what you've been saying, Jim, for a long time, once a footy club has a coach going into the next season where he's contracted, but beyond that, the unknown is there, that's what you think is the hitting zone now, don't you, for boards and coaches to make the decision at that point in time. And Dale Alcock yesterday was really clear. We could not commit to Ross Lyon beyond next year.
I get that bit. I just thought if you're going to wait this long, another week is neither here nor there, and then you get beyond the playing part of the year, you make your announcements, you say they're both gone, it doesn't matter anyway because your season's finished. It would have been an easier sell.
Yeah.
And not that there's any issue. I just thought they've obviously done it now because it was going to get out.
Well, maybe on the back of the board meeting on the Sunday, which they only called after the result of the previous night. And look, I think no media got a sniff of it until they did it, which is, you know, unusual.
Does it change any club's plans now, Damo? Because Ross Lyon hasn't had the best time of it at Fremantle in the last 24 months.
Yep.
But prior to that, he's coached St Kilda to a grand final. He's coached Fremantle to a grand final. He's had a lot of issues with list management and players not being available.
Yep.
Injuries. He is a damn good coach, Ross Lyon. The attacking part of what he does, I still think, is a bit of a query. And it was a query as to probably why they lost the premiership at St Kilda and at Fremantle. They couldn't kick goals that day. So Do they change their plans now and say, we have to have this discussion around Ross Lyon?
I don't see it happening, Brownie. He's hard work, and he knows that. I mean, even people who have been best friends of him, in Stephen Silvani's case back at St Kilda, could not work with him when they were an assistant coach to him. He's churned through them throughout his two club coaching career. And while you've got Brendan Goddard and Nick Riewoldt and Joey Montagna and Nick Del Santo really talking him up from bringing back the St Kilda perspective, there are other people at that footy club still on the playing list and off field who remember starkly him leaving them and also not having the same opinion as that big four does.
All right, so the big issue...
So to answer your question, not going to St Kilda.
The issue for them now, Nafe, is the player exodus. Ed Langdon saying he wants to go, Brad Hill saying he wants to go. I haven't heard Adam Chera say he wants to go, but there is a big concern. That's a very high draft pick, only been at the club for a year and a half.
Sean Darcy.
You don't? Yeah, Sean Darcy. You
Bradley
don't
Hill's
want...
been wanting to go for a long time now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so that would worry anyone attached to that club.
Well, when you look at Nat Fyfe, head and shoulders above being their best player along with Walters, you probably there's a step down then. And I think the next best two are Brad Hill and also Langdon, who's become a wonderful player. Can play forward, can play black, can back, can be in the middle, can also ruck rove. So I think they need to be able to keep him, but it doesn't sound like they will.
But and also they spoke to Tim Kelly last week, Freo.
Yeah, and there is now certainty around the coaching situation from the perspective of Ross Lyon's not there, and Tim Kelly would have thought he was going to be there next year, which may have gone against his thoughts, Bill. So it may well have been part of the time frame. And just specifically on Brad Hill, he will still seek a trade. As much as Ross Lyon's been linked to that scenario, yes, it's part of it, but it's not going to refrain him from still seeking the trade that he wants despite the 2 years of a contract. It's for personal reasons that he wants to return.
Jared Roughead rules himself out.
Yeah.
Yep.
After kicking six, I'm not playing this weekend, do you reckon?
Yeah, it's always better to go out with a tiny little bit left in the tank so people remember what a last game it was. I mean, it was all set up for him. I did,
did
the game Saturday night on Triple M footy, and it was against Gold Coast, but I just loved the way that Hawthorne looked for him, and he played his part beautifully. And to kick that goal with 45 seconds to go, it was a brilliant goal too. I mean, you don't get fairy tales like that. His whole career has been a fairy tale. A lot of those Hawthorne players, four premierships, beaten cancer. He's come back. He's played great football. He's been a captain of a footy club. He's kicked six nurries in his last game, with the last goal being one that everybody's going to remember. What a way to go out for a champion.
Common medalist too.
Oh, yeah. And still slightly live chance, Hawthorn.
Well, they are. No doubt about that.
Slightly. They've got to beat West Coast in Perth.
And then they go in, don't they?
Well, the Dogs then have to lose.
Dogs have to lose to Adelaide in Ballarat as well.
Sold out Ballarat, I'm just reading.
Yep.
Sold out. 4.5
No, it's 12, Bill.
Disparaging 12. Bill?
No, we love Ballarat. It'll just be cold. Jordan Stevenson.
Jaden even?
Yeah.
Jaden even.
This is a legally manipulated rort.
So what's happening?
Go on, tell us how it happens.
Okay. Jaden Stevenson got the ban for gambling. That conveniently, it was 22 weeks in totality, brought down to 10, meaning 12 was suspended. The 10 just conveniently allowed him to have the home and away season removed from his season, but allowed him to be available for the first week of finals. What's happening now is Collingwood's playing a home and away game against Essendon Friday night. That is the 10th game, according to the AFL. And the VFL team, Bill, will play on the weekend.
They play on Saturday or Sunday, don't they?
And the legal people have got involved and they're arguing. And the difference is this is not a tribunal-handed decision. Yes. It's an integrity department decision. So when a tribunal hands down a decision of 10 weeks, Brownie, it takes in the VFL and the AFL component to it, or the Sandfall component to it for a South Australian player. With the integrity department, it's just 10 weeks/10 matches. The 10th match is Friday night. VFL plays Saturday. It's dodgy, Bill.
Nothing wrong with a loophole, Damo.
No, no.
If you can find a loophole to exploit it, to play football, to better your club, if it's there, why not take it? I think they'd be derelict in their duties not to take it.
I think full thumbs up for what the Collingwood Footy Club has been able to do with it, but it is dodgy. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely dodgy, given it was a 22-week ban to begin with.
So they get a game into him prior to him coming straight back in round one of the finals.
He was coming in anyway, but now he's got a game under
his
belt.
Sometimes it is harder to get second up, though.
Yeah, first up, you're okay. Yep. Second up's a bit harder.
They do have the break the following week, though, after round 23.
So two first ups. Who else comes back? Darcy Moore come back this week?
That's the talk. I just personally, Bill, I'd still be just giving him the extra fortnight that not playing this week gives him, just given the litany of soft tissue problems he's had. But then they would be faced with bringing him Dugowie and Stevenson back really underdone. So, look, if he's saying he's right, that they're going to play him. And the noises to this point, Bill, of this week are that he plays.
Have to play your best players, I reckon, no matter if you think they might be slightly underdone. The more talent you can stack in your forward half at the moment, you look at all the clubs at the moment with talent stacked in their forward half, they are the clubs winning. So if they can get their all their talent back in that forward half, yes, Darcy Moore plays the defence. He might play a little bit in the forward line. But if you can stack that forward half with talent, that's going to win you more games than not. And I think the Bulldogs had a heap of injury concerns going into the 2016 final series, and all those players played well.
Daniel Wells, I keep hearing whispers out of Collingwood, is not a ridiculous chance to play again.
He's a sneaky chance.
That is incredible.
Yeah, and if there's a way to get him a game this weekend, I'd rather him see if he can play and break down in a home and away game than a first week of finals. We just go back to the one game he played this year in Sydney,
kicked
wasn't
three.
It? He kicked three. It could have been five by halfway through the second quarter. He missed two he should have got. And then in the same game, managed to hurt himself to the point where his season was nearly wrecked. It just encapsulated the last 4 to 5 years of his quite incredible career. But he's still alive when it comes to potentially playing a role in this premiership, I hope.
He's going on in the state of Adelaide. We're going to get to that next because she's in free fall.
Disarray.
This is the Midweek Rub.
The chance is up.
Triple M rocks footy.
Damien Barrett in, as is Nath Brown, and we are discussing footy, of course, as we get ready for the bye week and then the finals to start.
Wow.
And the finals are highly likely, in fact, almost exclusively likely, to not include a team from Adelaide. A month out, Damo, it looked like one or both would be in.
Yeah, well, even going to last weekend, there was the possibility that both could manufacture ways in. But bad losses in both their games has left the only possibility of a finals berth, Jim, on the Crow's head.
Yep.
But they need to beat the Bulldogs in Ballarat by, again, just the rough mathematics on it would be probably 5 or 6 goals, given the difference in percentage.
Well, so what happens? Because very proud state, of course. Ooh. They love their footy in Adelaide. What happens to Ken Hinckley, Don Pike, and the administrations there?
I genuinely think Port Adelaide are the more talented team. I think they've got... I think they bat a bit deeper. I think they've got the ability to upscale quickly, but I think they're mentally shot. They're a mentally weak footy side at the moment, where I just don't think Adelaide are as good as what people thought they were. Yeah, they played in the grand final, but since then, their ageing players have got 2 to 3% drop off. Their young players haven't come through. You look at Adelaide, when have they last... unveiled a young player who's just absolutely smashed him. There hasn't been one that's
Fogarty,
come in.
They're hopefully Fogarty, aren't they?
He's just come back. He's only just come back, so he's about the only one. He kicked 8 goals in 2 games. But outside that, they're drafting Wayne Miller maybe to a little bit, but he's not doing as much as what, I mean, a Sam Walsh has come in and done in his first year. So I generally don't think Adelaide are as good as what people think, but I just think Port Adelaide have the talent, but I don't think they have the mental application to get it done.
All right, so Adelaide will end up with pick 3 in this draft coming up and pick 7 or 8. Do they have to then start getting funky? Do they go, righto, we have taken this list as far as we can.
Yeah.
And as Nave said, a grand final's a bloody good effort. But now we need to go, right, let's get hold of these two kids and maybe do some funky trading and really start ripping into it.
Historically, they don't, do they, Jim? They play for the now, which I've always admired. But, I mean, I know you're more of the scientist when it comes to the list composition. And that would be what I think most people would say to do, take the kids. But there's going to be a clean out. I mean, Jacobs is not going to be the way I see it. Jenkins, despite having 3 years to run of a contract, is not going to be there. There's going to be older players who are also moved out. And I still keep hearing that Brad Crouch is yet to fully commit to the contract that he's got for next year as well. So there's going to be significant change with regards to those draft picks. I reckon they'll use them as they try to traditionally, and that is to bring other talent in.
Yeah. Defensively, they're pretty sound, I think. They've got a lot of defenders who can get the job done. So they don't get scored on very heavily, but they can't score themselves at the moment. I don't think Jenkins will be there. I think they need to move him on. Tex Walker's the captain, so he stays. Eddie Betts, not sure where he goes on, but they've lost Charlie Cameron, so they haven't replaced him, which has put a heap of pressure on Eddie Betts.
What about Brody Grundy?
Tom Lynch is another player who I think is a wonderful player, but doesn't hit the scoreboard enough.
Been injured a lot this year too, hasn't he?
But he's a conduit, so they obviously need a forward, and they need some pace through the midfield. They got Bryce Gibbs for a certain facet of the game, and it hasn't worked out for them. He's still on big money, Bryce Gibbs, for next year, but I generally think they need a really fast midfielder, and they also need a player who can kick them 50 or 60 goals.
Grundy's still contracted next year, Bill, for the Pies.
Still, they've offered him a big deal, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Would you leave Collingwood, though?
No, but I don't know why he would, but he's an Adelaide boy. That's the only thing, the pull back home.
I can't see that one happening, Bill. I know the interest is
but they
real.
They need someone big. They need a big fish, don't they, Adelaide?
Yeah. You've got to try and work with Bryce Gibbs and get him playing. He's got to play 22 games because he's a very good user of the football, and maybe his days of getting 30 disposal and kicking two goals like he did at Carlton, maybe those days are over. Find him a spot that he can do what he needs to do. Move Rory Laird into the middle. Move
Brownie, to that
Smith
point,
into the middle. Put him at half-back. Give him a role. He can play centre-half-back. He's big enough to play centre-half-back as well.
Don Pike just clearly doesn't trust him to play the role that he wanted him to play. That's why he's dropped him four times.
Well, Don Pike needs to force him to change.
Well, that's and a bigger issue.
He needs to find another way to use players, because right now I haven't seen Don Pike change anything. I haven't seen him throw someone from the midfield to defence. I haven't seen him throw a defender forward to kick goals. I haven't seen any change. There's an element of doing things the same way over and over again, and you'll get the same result, which I think is great for sides that are winning week in, week out. But Don Pike needs to change.
So what you're saying is he needs to do what Damien Hardwick did going into 2017, embrace what the players can do.
Without a doubt.
Not what they can't do.
And Nathan Buckley did a very similar thing.
Ken Hinckley has come out and said, I need to start playing in and winning finals pretty quickly or I'm going to get tipped out.
Yeah, and he did so seemingly knowledgeable, fully, Jim, on his contract allowing him regardless to go into next year. Yep. What he's referring to with the finals component to that is if he doesn't make it next year, he's going to be tipped out. So I feel of those two Adelaide coaches, he's the safer of the two when it comes to what happens to sign off on going into next year.
Well, it's a watch this space because it's the second year in a row both Adelaide clubs have missed September action, and they don't like that.
And I don't know what happened last week. They did not turn up. That doesn't help Ken. The other thing interesting is Scott Lysette, who was their best ruckman. Best ruckman. He hadn't played the last 3 weeks. It's been a strange one.
He started the year really well as well.
Well, he was their best ruckman.
Thank you, Bill. Simon Goodwin. We hear Alan Richardson is very close to doing that role for him. Is that a good appointment?
Well, yes, but it was only this time last year they were saying what a great role Brendan McCartney was playing in the same position, Jim. And now, 12 months on, he's out. Craig Jennings is out for probably other reasons than Brendan McCartney being moved out. But I don't subscribe to get a sack coach in to be the panacea. Now, I'm not saying it won't help, but Simon Goodwin's still going to be the boss of that footy club. And Alan Richardson right now is a person who his current club, St Kilda, didn't want. And I think he's going to be worthy in a structure, Alan Richardson, but I don't think it's going to rectify the problems just by simply walking through the door. Do you see it that way yourself?
I don't know enough about it. I know he's hugely highly regarded.
Yep.
So if you can bring good people into your footy club, it always helps.
The only thing is you hear, and it's only, I'm not inside the football club, you hear snippets that the players don't necessarily get along with Brendan McCartney. Not everybody. Maybe that's why he's out the door. Whereas I think I've never heard anyone say a bad word about Alan Richardson. So if he can get in there and do the job that Brendan McCartney is trying to do, maybe that makes those players 1 or 2% better.
So the Gold Coast Suns we then swing on to, because if Freo are going to do that on the back of that season, what are the Gold Coast Suns going to do on the back of another disastrous 6 months of footy?
It's just terrible, isn't it? And while they keep convincing the world that they've got the right people in place, and let's give them a tick on that, the results just don't change, do they, Jim? I mean, the first 6 weeks were good, Bill, weren't they? We kept wrapping them up, but there was this sense of inevitability when they stopped being competitive, that was just the bottom of it was going to fall out, and it has. It has. So I'm with you. The AFL's committed to it, so there's no issue from that regard, but the coaching and the ability to retain good players is a major issue. And again, I don't also subscribe strongly to the view that some do, and that is, Brownie, to bring in these players toward the end of their careers to prop them up. To me, they're banged up players. And I know everyone refers to Luke Hodge. Luke Hodge is the most unique situation when it comes to this. And there's not another Luke Hodge out there.
No, and it can't be just a dumping ground. They can't accept that it is a dumping ground either. And they'll lose young Ben King. I mean, I watched him play on the weekend, and he is a natural footballer.
They can't afford to lose
who just gets when to leave. No, his timing is impeccable. There's no way. There is no way he'll be at that footy club when his contract's finished. He's a St Kilda person. His family barrack for St Kilda. Mm. He is going to get out of there quick, smart, and particularly if they continue to lose week in, week out. Well, why would you want to be there away away from your own family.
I don't know. And that's the hardest thing, keeping young talent. Next year is their 10th year in the comp.
Yeah.
Yep. That's
the highest they've finished was 14th.
Stone motherless this season, and their last 2 months have been a complete debacle. Have Sydney had the easiest 16th finish of any, or 15th finish of any club in recent years? Like, have they got away with it better than anyone else?
I reckon they have.
Everyone goes, about they're all right, Sydney. This
got injuries.
They got injuries.
Good young talent.
They've
though,
just been allowed to have this season, haven't they?
It's almost been perfect for them in that big picture, hasn't it? To have this season and get the nice draft pick at the end of it. They're going to exit, or officially farewell, four players who we knew this day was coming for. Buddy Franklin will come back for his 300th. But I'm in their camp, Jim. I reckon they haven't been blown away. There's one game, I think, beyond 34 points of a loss. Again, don't hold me to that, but something like that. And they've been competitive in most of those other losses too, to some stage of the third quarter. I'm a buyer.
They've been afforded a mulligan, haven't they?
Yes, there's no doubt about it for me. I mean, if you're looking at them now 15th, they've got St Kilda, Freo and North above them. They shouldn't accept those three clubs having better seasons than them. Mm. Given the compilation of all those four clubs' lists, Freo should be better than those.
Remember, they belted West Coast by 8 goals this year too, Sydney. So when they need to turn it on, they still can.
They'll take pick four, won't they?
Nice. Well, that's what I'm saying, Bill. I'm not suggesting for a second they've manufactured a result, but it has fallen for them and they've got away with
bloody
it.
Bloody oak.
Yeah, but the dropping away and the injuries of those older players coincided with other injuries to players who weren't ready to play roles at that point in time. So I'm sympathetic, Jim, but you've been saying this for some time now. I'm not disagreeing.
I'm interested in perception in our game, Purple. So Carlton interests me as well. Everyone sees them as this massive buying stock.
He does.
Yeah.
They've still finished 16th.
Years.
They're still third last on the ladder.
Yeah.
But it's amazing the perception is that Carlton are on the up and everyone's happy. And
what are they, 6 of 10 or 7 of 11?
What is it? No, six. I've lost the number.
Yeah, 7-14 for the year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, David Teague's won 6 then, because Brendan Bolton had 1 before he took over. They are in the 8th, Jim, if you look at the ladder from just the last 10 games.
I'm not Carlton fans.
We can all find, when we have ratings, we find things that Triple M listeners rush our
demographics.
We sort of don't have to.
One-armed blokes in Richmond listen to Triple M.
Other stations can certainly one on the AM.
What about St Kilda? Yeah. How many people are lining up for that? They're going into their interviews, aren't they?
Well, I just keep referring to the fact that they are telling us they're doing a very thorough process, Bill. I take them at their word. We don't get the running commentary now on people walking through the door. And
what are you hearing?
I like that because there is
corridors.
Well, all we've heard is what we know to be the case. It's Brett Ratten's to lose, and the players have got to the point where they simply now want him to be that person. They've developed a relationship with him over the course of this year.
What about Robert Harvey? He turns 48 today.
Yeah, that's the other thing we know, isn't it? He's part of the process. I'm really glad for him personally because he's a great St Kilda person and he's done 10 years in the assistant coaching system at a pretty high level and deserves a chance. Whether he can convince that club to leapfrog him above the man who's already there, Bill, I doubt it.
Right, I reckon the one thing we learnt from the weekend's footy, and there were two cracking games, the Brisbane Geelong and the West Coast Richmond game.
What did you learn, Nate?
I think West Coast and Richmond are clearly the two best sides in it at the moment. And if it's a dry day, West Coast win the premiership.
If it's
any type of rain, Richmond are clearly like 5 goals better than any other side in the wet. West Coast would have walked away from that game going, if it's dry, we've got them. And Richmond, exactly the opposite.
Also, just get some last line help for Tom Barris if the game gets tight. Because did his cigar cutter tighten up? What about a bit of that? He's just gone sideways and found an opponent about 15 out when the game was on the line and then didn't take it over. Come on, Tommy.
Come on, Tom. Todd Goldstein, is he hasn't signed yet?
He hasn't.
Strange, because he's outstanding.
Yeah. Best game I've ever seen him play.
I think he's...
Yeah, and was other people have noticed that too,
in Geelong yesterday.
was he?
Yeah.
3 votes, Jim? I reckon, ahead of a bloke that kicked 10 goals. That's how good his game was.
First time I've seen two.
I thought Goldstein's rogue. 35 disposals, 17 score involvements. The way he tapped it to his midfielders, it was a clinic.
Once 3 years, Bill. North have given him 2. They'll work it out.
I'll tell you what I like, Damo, is every single player that's... ever thought about as possibly going to move in this competition is going to Geelong, according to Fat.
City of dreams.
He's coming home, never been to Geelong in his life, and has no desire to either.
Hey, Todd was seen down there yesterday.
It's a trap down there, Bill.
No at the Cremorne Hotel to having a Palmer.
Todd from Geelong.
Not that Bowen Heads.
Hey, good to see you, boys. Thanks very much for that. Look forward to the weekend.
See you in the morning, Jim.
Yes.
Yeah, see you in the morning.